We have to remember our brothers and sisters on the streets because, you know, our people have been dispersed all over this land from the east to the west. My name is Audrey Redman, and I'm Dakota Cree from Saskatchewan, and I'm also with CKLN 88.1 FM. A program that honors the earth on at Sunday night at 6:30, so, you know, tune in when you can. I guess one thing I can say about taxation is that you're looking at a sample of assimilation. I am a residential school survivor. I am also an institutional survivor. And people must remember how are we losing our rights for a particular tax exemption. Well, one of those ways was to take the children away from their lands. And in this way, then we were no longer there. There's no more transfer payments. And the transfer payments are in trade of the lands and resources. Right now we are standing on Mississauga's land, and we have all of these banks, all of these buildings that are worth millions and billions of dollars. And yet at the same time, they're still going to go after First Nations people for taxation. Shame. Not only to tax us, to take our little status card that we have away. And the reason why they're going to take that away is because we're off reserve. Well, who took us off reserve? The government of Canada took us off reserve.
Right. Shame!
And Revenue Canada is a collector of monies. And if they're going to be coming after First Nations for taxation, then who are they going to go after for all of the condos that they're building down here for $500,000 each? Who is getting that money? Then why are they coming after First Nations for taxation? That has been a right, and right now the sun is still shining. The rivers are still flowing, and First Nations people are still here, and those treaties stand. The reason why our people made those treaties, and I think they could see what was coming, because they knew that the people who came here did not keep their word. The treaties have been broken from the time that they were made.
Shame!
And the people who have died because of it, and who have died in poverty, is because Revenue Canada. Canada has taken that money, not First Nations people. Canada will tell you that First Nations people is taking your tax money. Well, right here, I don't see any Native people that have a building like this anywhere. If you go to any reserve, you will not see a building like this. You will see modest houses. You will see reserves that do not have water treatment plants. You will see reserves that do not have schools. And the reason why that this is because the tax money never went to the reserves. It went to the churches, it went to the institutions, it went to the prisons where our people are still sitting inside those walls. And that is what has happened to First Nations people in this land. You know what? I'm so thankful that, you know, I thought about coming here. I was asked to speak, and I thought, you know what? I don't even know if I want to speak about this anymore. I came into this city 10 years ago, and there was a demonstration just like this at Revenue Canada. We were talking about the same things then. Only thing today, it's more crucial because we're closer to losing the rights that we have as First Nations people in this land. And it's because of the government of Canada, and it's because of the AFN and any other Indian organization that helps it to happen. And right this past week, right in downtown Toronto, right at the Delta Chelsea Inn, the Chiefs of Ontario were sitting there with De Beers, and they would not let any media into the room. Why? You got to take a look at that.
Capitalism and corruption.
You know, who is making the billions of dollars? Not First Nations people. So when Canadians think about taxation, think about who is taking your tax money and where it's going, because it's certainly not First Nations people. And as a residential school survivor, as a First Nation of this land, I am taking absolutely nothing from the government of Canada. I am not taking their services in terms of social services. I am having to struggle on my own. And there is no money there, even though they put money to residential school survivors. Where is it going? It's going to bureaucracies. That's where it's going. And it's not going to the people which it's supposed to go to. And I can say that because I am a survivor. And I have knocked on their doors, and they've told me to go to away to a shelter. So, you know, and... And that's my testimony as a First Nation in this country.
Hey, see you later, eh?
Let's hit the drum.
Well, I think, I don't know what anybody else can say, but it says here in this book that I picked up, and this book is called, it's called Voice of the Eagle, and this was put out in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro by the indigenous people. And this is what they have to say. To most of the world, we who are called Indians are not real. We are thought of as people of the past and the realm of legends, almost like elves or witches and King Arthur knights, minor characters in Hollywood movies, when the hero needs someone to fight against or otherwise make him look good. But for the most part, to be left on the storybook shelves or in the natural history section of museums of the world alongside the fossils, the dinosaur, and other dead things. I'm happy to tell you we are not only very much alive, but also available to share with you once again from that piece of the human puzzle which is uniquely ours by virtue of our unique history and the talents that have evolved from our unique experience away from the colors, other colors of man. There is a body of wisdom made up of many parts which has been developed, collected, preserved, and passed on to us from various ancestors of many nations from ancient times. True democracy has been practiced by indigenous people for thousands of years. Based on indigenous principles, the Iroquois Confederacy advised George Washington and Benjamin Franklin, the authors of the American Declaration of Independence, to function as a group of sovereign states without giving up their sovereignty to work together for common goals. Hence, both the United States government and the United Nations were born based on Indian political philosophy. My intent is to encourage you to listen to indigenous people. We have a genius for three things in particular. By virtue of our having developed in isolation from you, figuratively along a different vein of the human family tree, we have a genius for government. We have a genius for human relations. We know how to protect Mother Earth. The well-being of all living things on the planet is now at stake and under our scrutiny today. At last, you hear with us, protect Mother Earth. And that was written in 1992. We are closer. We are closer today as people, not just as indigenous people, but people all over the world, to be thinking of not just of our safety as indigenous people, but of your own safety. Because, you know, when I walk down these streets and I look around me, it's like walking alone. And there is no one there to support anybody. The only way that things are going to change now is for people to support one another. Because in the end, that's all we're going to have amidst all of this concrete that surrounds us, that's underneath us. So when we talk about taxation, you know, think about, you know, who is paying for this? First Nations people have given up the land, continue to give up the resources. They continue to go on to First Nations land to take the lumber, to take the diamonds, to take the gold, to take the oil. And now they're coming at us so that they want to make us to have to pay as well. That was in the treaties that we would be tax exempt for as long as the sun shines and the rivers flow. And as far as I can see, the sun is still shining.
Right on. Right on.